Thank you, Pastor. Be opening your Bible now, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah, we're going to look at chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, and then Jeremiah. Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 6, looking at one verse, verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 4. Let me encourage you now. Don't run off after the service this morning. Stay with us. We'll have a good dinner. We call it dinner in Kentucky. Everybody sometimes call it lunch. Where I come from, we call it breakfast, dinner, and supper. Amen. But anything you call it, count me in. I'll be there as long as there's food, right? And so I saw them bring all this stuff in, and it is going to be good. You don't want to leave. And then we'll come right back in, and we'll have a short service this afternoon, and we'll call it a wonderful weekend revival meeting. My, how the Lord is blessed. Oh, how encouraged I am that things have developed like they have, and people have come, different ones. And so we're just thankful for all of you here today. But our lesson today, Jeremiah chapter 6. Do you have it? Okay, I want you to stand for, I'll read the one verse, we'll have prayer, and then we'll get right into our lesson today. Jeremiah chapter 6. Now looking at verse 4. Jeremiah chapter 6, looking at verse 4. Notice it says, "Prepare you war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon." Now here's the part I want you to see. Woe unto us. See that? Woe unto us. Why? For the day goeth away. For the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Oh, that's different, isn't it? Notice again, woe unto us. Why? For the day goeth away. It's gone. It's almost ended. The day is almost ended. And then what happens? The shadows of the evening are then stretched out. How well do I remember as a young lad in Kentucky where I was born, up in the mountains, just poor folks. And I remember gathering in the old building that's set up on a hill, small building, about not much bigger than this. And the old folks would sing. And I remember this song they sung, and it stuck with me when I read this passage of Scripture. And the song went like this. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days, and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. And so this morning, I want us to think about the subject, life's evening sun is sinking low. Life's evening sun is sinking low. We'll pray and then we'll comment. Thank you, Lord. What a wonderful, beautiful day we have. How precious it is together in your house. Thank you, Lord, for these that are here. I pray your blessings upon each one. There's people here today from all walks of life. Different problems, different situations. But I thank you, Lord, you're able to take care of it all. And we put it in your hands and we say for the next few minutes that you'll just speak to us, that you'll help us, encourage us, and your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen, amen and amen. All right, thank you. Be seated. And our subject today is life's evening sun is sinking low. And you know something that's already taking place for many of our acquaintances, many of my loved ones and friends and preacher brethren across the country. The sun has already set. For them, life's evening sun now has long since sunk below the horizon of the earth. And of course, the sobering verse that I read to you here today from God's holy book describes the state of all of us here today. The day goeth away. Isn't that true? The day goeth away. The day for you and me to live and serve God and do what we can. It goeth away. The day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Life's evening sun, sinking low. Nothing more beautiful than to see a sunset. And especially to see it set on the ocean. How many of you have ever seen the sunset on the ocean? Let's see your hand. Beautiful sight, isn't it? A beautiful sight. My wife and I have stood on the west coast of the ocean, and we've watched that sun sink in that ocean, and I'm telling you, I've never seen anything so awesome. It just seems like it hangs there. It gets about halfway in the water. It looks like it's going down in the water, and it gets about halfway in the water, and then all of a sudden it just sinks, and it's gone. And life's evening sun is like that. It's sinking low. Oh, friends, what a warning we have in the Scripture here. And in this passage of Scripture from the book of Jeremiah, the Lord used this as an illustration to show all of us here three things. To show us the shortness of life. I mean, it's short. It's like a vapor that appears and then it's gone. And then number two, he's going to show us the passing of opportunities to live and serve God. The passing of opportunity. And then number three, we're going to see the certainty of death. It's appointed unto man once to die. Certainty of death. Everyone here will face it one of these days. The sure thing is death. And so this was the Lord's message to the sinning Jews in that day that refused the message of God's servant Jeremiah. If you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll find he preached and preached and preached and seemed like nobody would listen. None. No one would hear him as he preached, and they didn't like it, and they put him in pits, and they put him down in a well, and they did everything to shut this man up in prison and all, but he just kept preaching God's message, and the day the Lord said, well, one day goeth away. You've had your opportunity, but the day will go away. And so today, I want us to think this morning, just for a few minutes, about life's evening sun is sinking low. Which means, number one, here's our first point, the day of opportunity to be saved is passing away. The day of opportunity to be saved is passing away. Oh, how often the Bible brings out the very fact that God gives an opportunity for men and women and boys and girls who reach the age of accountability to trust the Lord. And then in His own time, God closes that opportunity. It comes to an end. Now, that was true in Noah's day, was it not? You remember reading about Noah and how that God raised him up. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord in a sinful world. He began to preach to him about the wrath of God, about the judgment of God. But then Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. God gave them a time limit. God gave those people in Noah's day a time to repent, a time to get right, a time to turn from their wicked ways. And the wicked, those wicked people, before the flood came, they turned a deaf ear to the God's warning. They laughed at God's preacher. And finally, the day came when God shut the door of the ark. 7 days later, then came the wrath of God. God closed the door of the ark, and it shut Noah and his family in, and he closed forever the opportunity for those people to be saved and to get right with the Lord. Woe. Woe, notice that word I read to you. Woe unto the foolish man, or woe unto the foolish woman who trifles away that opportunity to be saved. There's many examples in the Bible that the opportunity to be saved is passing away. I read about blind Bartimaeus who sat along the road going to Jericho along with another blind man. And they heard one day that Jesus was going to pass by, Matthew chapter 20 and verse 30. And they cried out, realizing this may be our last opportunity. He may never pass this way again. Oh, He's the only one that can open our eyes. He's the only one that can make us see. He has the power to do it. And this may be the only day He will pass by. And they cried out and they claimed and they said, have mercy upon us, Lord. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. And that was their opportunity. And the Lord graciously healed them and gave them back their sight. And it was their opportunity to have their eyes open. Why? Because He might never pass that way again. And I'm warning all of you here today. The Lord may never pass this way again. This is the day. Now is the opportunity. The time to be saved. The day of opportunity to be saved. The sun is sinking low. When the Apostle Paul, the greatest preacher of all time, except the Lord Jesus Christ. When the Apostle Paul stood before a king by the name of Felix, a very well-known king in that day, a very powerful king, in the book of Acts chapter 24, and I cannot read this passage of Scripture without it bringing tears to my eyes. I weep because here was a man by the name of Felix. And Felix heard this great preacher preach. And he preached the gospel. He preached about the death, the burial, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He told that man and all of his people there how to be saved in front of this great king. This great preacher preached to them. Well, the king, he got under a conviction of sin. He didn't want to bring it out, but later he called for the apostle to come privately and talk to him and his wife. And so the Bible says that Paul sat down and he began to reason with them. And he reasoned about righteousness. That is, he warned them that Jesus was the only way. He warned them the righteousness of Christ had to be applied to their life or they would perish. And then he put out temperance, warned them to repent. And that's the warning for everyone today. Oh, you need to repent of your sins. That means turn from your sins. Put your trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul warned them of righteousness. He warned them of temperance. And then he warned them of the judgment to come. The wrath of God would sure be revealed upon them. And so here is Felix, this great king, and his wife. And many times he called for Paul. And finally time come out. And run out. And so his day of opportunity to be saved was about to pass away. And this is what he said to the Apostle Paul. And it rings clear and loud today. He said, Paul, go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And friends, I want to tell you, that convenient season never came. As far as we know today, he's in hell. Suffering the wrath of God, saying, when I have a convenient season. How many times have I had people tell me that? Oh, preacher, I just can't do it right now. I just can't trust the Lord right now. When I have a better time, when my life is this or that or this and the other, and they pass it off, and when I have a more convenient season, I will trust thee. Not only did Paul stand before this great king, but a man followed his place, and his name was Festus. He was another great king, very powerful, very strong king. His name was Festus. And not only Festus, but Festus heard this man preach, heard him preach the gospel, heard him preach about the Lord. He didn't know what to do. He was all confused, this king was. So one day he had a visitor, another great king, who was a friend of his. More powerful than he was, his name was Agrippa. Agrippa came with his sister and he visited with this king Festus. Festus told him about Paul and he said, yeah, I've heard about it. He said, well, what should I do with him? He said, I'd like to hear it. And so they gathered together with all their pomp. The Bible says, here are these two kings. Boy, they put on their robes and they marched out like the kings do, you know, and everybody was bowing and everybody was praising them. And they got up and they sat down in the big, evidently some kind of an auditorium. And all these people were gathered there. And then out came Paul. And guess what Paul did? Just like any man of God would do, he preached to them. And he preached the gospel and he told Festus, and he told Agrippa to flee the wrath of God. They needed to get saved. Today was the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Oh, Paul was preaching, and the power of God was upon him like never before. And as that power went out, old Festus the king, he got so upset, he got so excited about the message that he was preaching, he raised up out of his seat and said, Paul, you're mad. You're crazy. Paul said, no, king. I'm not crazy. Agrippa, King Agrippa knows what I'm talking about, don't you, king? And then Agrippa made this statement. And it rings loud and clear, and it rings across the country today. He said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. Almost. But he never did. And today, as far as we know, Festus, Agrippa, along with this great King Felix, are there in that awful place of torment. Why? Why would somebody put off? Why would they put off this wonderful time? Why?
Time is short, my friend.
Short. You may say, well, I'm 70 years old, or I'm this, or I'm that, or I'm 50, or I'm so. It's still short. Compared to life, it's a short time. Oh, today, the shortness of life's evening sun is sinking low. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the time to get saved, friend. You put it off like these men. No doubt, you'll never be saved. Oh, today, only trust Him. That song we sing, come every soul, by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord. Amen. And you'll trust Him today, only trust Him. He'll save you, and He'll save you now. What a Savior we have today. What a wonderful Lord. And so I say the sun is sinking low. I preach that around the country. I warn people every week that sun is going to sink on you. One day the day will be gone. Have you made preparation? Are you ready? Are you ready today? Is everything all right? I said the day of opportunity to be saved is passing. Number two, life's evening sun is sinking low. The day of opportunity to serve the Lord, is passing away. Especially for Christians. You that are here today that know the Lord as your Savior. You that have had that personal experience with God in your heart often in the Bible. And this age that we live in today is often spoken of in the Bible as the last days. The Bible, why would the Lord refer to this day we're living as the last? Because the sun is sinking low. It's getting ready to sink. It's getting ready to go out. And so life's evening sun, and God speaks of this day as the coming end. It's going fast. And I want to tell you something. If you're here today and you ever plan to do anything for the Lord, you better get busy. Why, signs are everywhere. You all know that. As you think about the end time and prophecy and all the things that are happening, everything is just fit right in, just like the Bible says. And any moment now, the trump of God is going to sound, and the archangel is going to shout, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. We which are alive and remain will be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, and then we'll go out to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That day may come today. Before we get through this service, that trump may sound. We don't know, do we? Nobody knows the time or the hour. But one thing for sure, this is the last days. We're living. The sun is sinking low. And so if you're going to do something for God, any moment the Lord may come, we must get busy. Let's take the opportunity we have today to serve Him. How about taking a little inventory now? What are you doing for the Lord? Ask yourself, what am I doing for the Lord? First of all, are you saved? That's the key. That's the main thing, isn't it, to start out with? You've got to be born again. You have to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. If not, right now, right while I'm preaching, just turn to the Lord and say, dear Jesus, come into my heart. Save my soul. Take me to heaven. I'm trusting you and you alone. And then after you're saved, then the next thing is you want to be scripturally baptized, like the Bible says. The Bible has one way of baptism, just like there's one way of salvation. There's not 15 different ways you can be baptized. There are not 15 things that you can do to be baptized and all that. God has one way for salvation, and He has one way of one faith, one Lord, one baptism, the Bible says. And so I'm asking you, have you been scripturally baptized under the authority of a New Testament church that has authority from heaven to do the baptizing? And then after that, after you've been baptized, then as you become a faithful member of a local church like this one here, Anchor Baptist Church, if I lived here in driving distance of this place, this is where I would be a member. I would put my membership right here at Anchor Baptist Church. Why? Because it preaches the Bible. Why? Because they believe and love lost souls and want to see people saved. Why? Because they love God's people and want to encourage them to live for God. I'd want to be a member of a church like that. And I'd want to make sure that I was serving the Lord. And so that's what I'm encouraging you today. Are you a faithful member of the Lord's church and serving the Lord like the Bible teaches? What are you doing for the Lord? Are you reading your Bible every day? Yes or no? Are you reading that Bible every day? Oh, that's so important. It's so important that you read your book every day. Read that Bible every day. If it's just one verse, read it. Two verses, a chapter, whatever. Oh, but read your Bible every day. And then, are you a witness for the Lord? Got tracks in your pocket this morning? Oh, I tell you again, I tell everybody, don't you put on a shirt, you men, that doesn't have a pocket. Make sure it's got a pocket, and then make sure you got tracks in it. Oh, that's so important that we, as God's people, and you ladies with your purses, you ought to have tracks. They're laying right over here. Take you some with you. And tomorrow, as you go about life, the grocery store, getting fuel, whatever you have to do, people come to your house or are walking down the street. Hey, are you a witness? Are you getting the gospel out? I'm just asking you, what are you doing for the Lord Jesus Christ? Why? The sun is sinking low. If you ever want to do anything for Him, today's the day. Don't wait till next week. Don't wait till next week or month or next year. Oh, but today, friend. Why? Life's evening sun sinking low. I said, number one, life's evening sun is sinking low. The day of opportunity to be saved is passing. I said, number two, life's evening sun is sinking low. The day to serve the Lord is passing quickly. And last of all, I say, life's evening sun is sinking low. The opportunity to live will soon end. For everybody here, I don't want to be a downer. I don't want to discourage you today. I just want you to face some facts that we don't live forever in this life, do we? Because there comes a time when we have to transfer from this life to the eternal. And to live there we will forever and forever. But the day of this earthly life is drawing to a close. Life's evening sun, sinking low. No wonder the psalmist wrote Psalm chapter 90, verse 2. He said, so teach us to number our days. Why? That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. The psalmist warned us a long time ago, you need to number your days. Such as, we don't know exactly how long we're going to live, but we know we're not going to live in this life forever. And so you need to prepare for that day. When the day will come when this life will no longer be. He said, teach us to number our days. Why? Because it's going to come to an end. And then he went on in the same chapter, and he said that life was like grass, which groweth up in the morning. It flourisheth. In the evening it's cut down like a farmer would do, and then it withereth away and gone. He said also that life is like a tale. That is told, like a story that is told. It just lasts for a minute, and then it's gone, and it's soon cut off. And over in the book of James, James wrote and said in chapter 4 and verse 14, what is your life? He asked the question, what is your life? And then he answered it. Here it is. It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. That quick. Life is so fast. Oh, don't take it for granted, friend. Are you prepared to die? If that day suddenly comes today, are you ready? And we don't know, do we? I tell you, we just don't know when that day is going to come. It doesn't matter. God's no respecter of age. It can be a teenager. It can be a child. It can be a middle age. It can be an older person. Listen, our day will come to an end one of these days. We just don't have the promise of the next breath. That's the reason it's so important that we take the warning of God's Word. Amen. Amen. I was preaching not too long ago in a Baptist church. Saturday night, large crowd, house was full. My wife at that time was teaching the children. She had the children back to back like Sister Lisa does. And she was teaching the children. They introduced me. I stood up. I made a few words. I announced my text. People opened their Bible. I read my text. And then I announced what I was going to preach on. And I just started preaching. And three rows back, the youth director of the church, a young man, had three or four children there in the church. My wife had them in the back teaching them. His wife sitting next to him. His mother and dad sitting behind him, sitting on the edge. And just as I started my introduction, he stood up. He grabbed his chest. And he turned around. And he wobbled back to the back, and when he got back to the back door, he fell over. And he was dead. Right there, dead in that service. You talk about pandemonium breaking loose. His wife sitting here. Here's her husband. Just dropped dead. Here's dad and mother. And my wife's got the children back in the back. And all that stuck with me. You see, we don't have the promise. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. The key, friend, is for you to be ready. And I'm sure he was. He was ready. He was a good man, faithful man, working with the young people and everything. But God had a reason to take him on. And God has a reason for us. In our life, it's like a vapor. I'm telling you, it appears for a little while. And then after that, it's the judgment. And that's the warning in the Scripture, isn't it? Life's evening sun is sinking low. A few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done. Ah, where there will be no setting sun. Oh, friends, take the warning today. If you're saved today, oh, you've got everything to look forward to. Amen, brother. Amen. It's not a gloom and doom for us, is it? No, no. One step out of this world into that glorious world that's waiting for us. And we read about it every day, what the Lord has in store for us. Oh, you cannot imagine. There's not an eye hath ever seen it. There's not an ear that could ever hear. No one has ever known the wonderful, glorious thing that God has waiting for me, Bob Jones. And not only for me, but for Pastor Thatcher and family and all of you here today that are saved by the grace of God. Oh, it's not gloom for us. Death doesn't mean, oh, it's awful, terrible, all of that. Of course, I'm not anxious to die, are you? I'm like the fellow said, if I knew where I was going to die, I'd never go near the place. Amen. I'd stay away from it if I knew, but I'm not anxious to die. But I tell you what, I'm ready to die. And when God gets ready, it'll be absent from the body at home with the Lord. That's for us. But if you're not saved, that's a different story. The Bible teaches instantly, when you lift your eyes after this life, you'll be in torment. As the rich man was, if we read in the Gospel of Luke, a rich man died. He lifted his eyes instantly. He was in a lake of fire, suffering the wrath of God. Oh, the warning. Oh, the warning of the Bible. Oh, the warning of the Scripture. Don't pass it up. I beg of you today, don't leave here today without Christ. Will you trust Him this morning? Will you right now, just with your own heart and your own lips, your own way, just say, yes, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I deserve to go to hell. But I really believe that You died for me. And that You shed Your precious blood to cover my sins. And I'm trusting You and You alone to take me to heaven. Would you pray that prayer today? And then tell Pastor about it. And as Christians, are you doing anything for the Lord? Are you really involved in the work of God? Are you really sincere about serving the Lord today? If not, let's get with it. Why? Life's evening sun, sinking low. Don't have a little while. Oh, but get busy, friend. Do what you can for the Lord today. Let's stand to our feet. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed, every eye closed. And oh, again, I plead with you. I earnestly urge you right now, if you're not saved, if you've never asked Jesus sincerely to come into your heart, do it now. Do it now. No pressure. Nobody's making you. But I'm just telling you, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you and you realize that this is what you need to do, would you do it? And then as Christians, are you faithful to the Lord? As I repeated a while ago, are you a member of the kind of church that Jesus built while He was here? Are you serving the Lord in and through that church like the Bible teaches? Are you faithful? Are you a giver, tithing and giving, offering, supporting the work of the Lord? Oh, there's so many things we can be doing for the Lord today. Don't pass it up. The opportunity to serve the Lord, soon gone. Oh, today. What a warning from the Scripture, huh? Let's heed that warning. Do what God leads you to do this morning. You'll never regret it. Dear Lord, we thank You for the Word of God. How precious it is. And today, as that word has gone forth here, may the Holy Spirit, may He direct it into the hearts of people. And whatever the need is today, whatever it is, Lord, here today, that person that's lost, that's not saved, oh, Lord, quicken them, point them to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Give them faith to believe and trust in You this morning. And then God's people that are saved, oh, Lord, help us to get a new look. And revived and stirred, and may our hearts be one more time warmed and stirred to go closer to You and to serve You with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and with all of our soul. Help us to do that. And Your will be done today. In Jesus' name, Amen and amen. Just remain standing. Pastor's coming.
All right, let's take our songbook and do number 328. We'll sing together.